Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I know some of you were confused when you saw we were doing shows that we had done before in my place, and that's because I was away on a retreat for a week, which was a great blessing for me. And I just wanted you to know that I'm back, I am getting better, but keep praying for me. I'd appreciate that very, very much. But I am on the mend. So what we want to do, no matter what our state is, no matter where we are in life, what we want to do is follow the Lord in the way He wants us to. That's our greatest safety. That's our greatest security. That's our greatest hope. So let's follow Him through the readings of this week. And let's just ask ourselves the honest kinds of questions. Am I doing this? Am I thinking about this? Am I growing in this area? Have I given up this sinful habit? Have I turned away, even with one thing? And if not, do not be afraid. Just persevere. Draw closer to the Lord. Draw closer to His Word, and you will receive the power to change. You see, when we get to heaven, I would like everybody who listens to this program to surround me in heaven, to be with me in heaven. We want to be together for all eternity. So let us do what we can now to offer our lives to the Lord, to follow Him in every way that He asks us. We take a look at the first reading for today from the first book of Samuel, chapter 15, verses 16 to 23. Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And Saul replied, "Speak." And Samuel then said, "Though little in your own esteem, are you not leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king of Israel and sent you on a mission, saying, 'Go and put the sinful Amalekites under a ban of destruction. Fight against them until you have exterminated them.' Why then have you disobeyed the Lord? You have pounced on the spoil, thus displeasing the Lord." And Saul answered Samuel, "I did indeed obey the Lord. I did fulfill the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought back Agag, and I have destroyed Amalek under the ban. But from the spoil, the men took sheep and oxen, the best of what had been banned, to sacrifice to the Lord their God in Gilgal. But Samuel said, 'Does the Lord so delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the command of the Lord? Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission than the fat of rams.'" That right there, just let me pause for a moment. You know, we can often compromise. We can say, "Well, yes, the Lord wants me to do this, but I did do this for Him, so I think that counts, or I did do that for Him." What we want to do is, when we sense that the Lord wants us to do something, do it. Don't throw in our good ideas, which is what happened here. He threw in His good ideas of what He wanted to see happen, so that when they saw the spoil, what was left of the cattle and the other animals, He said, "We will offer them to the Lord." But Samuel said, "Does the Lord so delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the command of the Lord?" What the Lord had asked them to do was different. Not taking all the spoil and parceling it out and everybody taking something, which sounded like, "Good, well, I gave this to so-and-so." But it wasn't what the Lord was asking. And that's what we have to be careful. Do what the Lord asks us to do, no matter how small. Don't think we can make it better. The Lord's the one who sees the whole picture, not us. And even this, though this looked like generosity by sharing, it nevertheless was not what the Lord wanted. Obey the Lord. Do what the Lord asks you to do. If it's small, do it small. If it's big, do it big. But don't go beyond its parameters. Don't decide that, "Okay, I got that right with the Lord. Now I'll add this, and I'll add this, and I'll add that." Because we don't see the whole picture. What we need to do is simply obey Jesus. When He asks something of us, do it with a whole heart. And then just say to the Lord, Thank you for letting me be your servant. Tell me what else that you need of me, and I will do that for you. To the upright I will show the saving power of God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you, for your burnt offerings are before me always. I take from your house no bullock, no goats out of your fold. Why do you recite my statutes, and you profess my covenant with your mouth? You say all the right words, but you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. We can all do that. Every one of us, we can pick and choose from what we think the Lord wants us to do. But do what the Lord has said. Believe me, brothers and sisters. He says, when you do these things, shall I be deaf to it, or do you think I am like yourself? I will correct you by drawing them up before your eyes. He that offers praise as a sacrifice as glorifies me. And to him that goes the right way, doing what God asks us to do. Don't go beyond it. Don't go around it. Do what God asks you. Because we just, as I said before, we don't see the whole picture. If God is asking us to do something, do it. And it will become clear. But just do what God asks. And the Gospel of Mark today, chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus and objected, "Why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them." And that's where the land in which we live right now. "And then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloth. If he does, its fullness pulls away the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins." Now, what all of these readings are telling us, making very clear to us, is don't think you can do a better job than God. What God asks of you, though it seems small or insignificant, it might be a kind gesture to a neighbor or to a friend. It might be getting a Band-Aid for a child. It might be doing little things. Do them, but don't go beyond it. Do what the Lord asks you to do. Follow him. Listen, which means that you need to turn to him often throughout the day. Just say, "Lord, what are your priorities today? What's most important to you today?" And then do what you think that is. Offer yourself as a servant, as a son, as a daughter to the Lord, who dearly loves you. Beyond all comprehension, he loves us. And what he wants is that we follow him, because he can lead us to safety, to security, to home with him at last. So listen carefully and try not to interject your ideas. Do what God asks you to do. That's not easy. That's not easy at all for any one of us, because we automatically go to, "Oh, well, then I could do this, or then I could do that, or I should tell this person about it, or I shall bring in these people and we'll all do this together," and so on. Ask God first. It might be that that's fine, but ask him. Don't just say, "Okay, God, thank you very much. I'll take it from here." And then we add man's ideas into the plan. And sometimes they're good, and sometimes they can get us into a great deal of difficulty. So keep seeking the Lord. Once you know what he wants of you, ask him how. Ask him what you should do. And don't put your ideas first. Don't interject your ideas first. Just listen for his voice. And that takes a lot of quiet time. It takes a lot of quiet time to listen, to pay attention. So brothers and sisters, as the scriptures tell us today, may the sacred mysteries of which we have partaken or will partake, O Lord, we pray, give us that determination which made your blessed martyr Fabian faithful in your service and victorious in suffering through Christ our Lord. God wants to make us strong. And this is the feast we celebrate today, the feast of Saint Fabian. He was elected pontiff in 236, and during his pontificate, he divided Rome into seven districts, each headed by a deacon and a subdeacon. And the subdeacons had the task of preserving the acts of the martyrs, the transcripts of their trials. And in the year 250, the Roman Empire, Decius, determined to return Rome to the glories of its pagan past. And he began a brutal persecution of all who would not sacrifice to the official deities. And Pope Fabian was one of his first victims. Here's a pope, and he did what God asked him to do. "It is a useful and helpful thing," wrote Saint Cyprian, "when by the firmness of his faith a bishop becomes manifest to his brethren as an object of imitation." That's what we want to look for. We want to look for people we can truly follow, people who love the Lord with their whole heart, are giving themselves to him. Because, brothers and sisters, it's so easy to say, "Lord, I'll do this for you, or I'll do that for you, or I'll do the other thing for you." That can be good. That can be good. But first ask him, what of all these things do you want me to do? What do you ask of me? That's very, very important. Because I've made mistakes thinking, oh, yes, oh, and that leads me to this idea and that idea and the other idea, and I'm going to do all these things, and God will be so pleased because I've mounted up all these works. Well, I'm sure that God smiles upon us many times, but at the same time, it could get us into serious trouble. So do what the Lord asks you to do. He may want someone else to take up another part of it. So ask the Lord, "What do you have for me?" And then listen. Just saying, "Well, I didn't hear anything, so I just did what I thought was best." Sometimes that happens, but most of the time there'll be some indication to you of what you really should focus on. And I urge you to think about it, because I know of all the many, many mistakes I've made in my life when I thought, "Oh, this is a great idea, and it was from God." But instead of just going that way, I said, "Well, then that means we should do this and this and this and this and this and the other thing." By the end of it, you have a stupendous pile of good intentions, but we don't necessarily carry out what the Lord wants us to do because we've injected all our own ideas into the picture. Seek him. Seek him first. Put him first. Love him with all your heart. You know, just as we're ending the Christmas season here, just as we're in the new year, I know it's a time that many people think of, this is a time to make a new resolution. Well, one of the resolutions that you could make is to say, "Lord, I want to do your will today. Please show me what to do." If you don't hear anything, then do what you think is best. But give the Lord time if he wants something particular of you. And if somebody gives you something that needs to be done in your job or whatever, then just say to the Lord, "Lord, I dedicate this to you. I will do what I'm asked to do, and I won't add all my 10,000 own ideas without consulting with others." Seek him. Seek him fully. He will love you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.